Well, we are in the season of stewardship in the church. The latter part of the fall season, we focus on what it means to be stewards for the Lord. And stewardship is not a word that we hear spoken very much outside the church, although it didn't start out to be a particularly religious word. Stewardship simply means management. To be a steward is to be the manager, to manage what belongs to someone else. It doesn't belong to you, but you have been put in a position of trust and responsibility to carefully manage someone else's stuff, to manage it for the owner's benefit and not your own. In last week's parable, for the example, we had the story of the owner of the vineyard who had a group of tenant farmers who he had entrusted the care of the vineyard, that they were to carefully manage the vineyard in order to get a good return for the owner, for which they themselves would receive a proper share. But the vineyard was not and never would be theirs. Of course, in this parable, the tenants decided that they ought to have that vineyard as their own. And when they rejected the true owner's claim, by throwing out the owner's son and killing him, the results were disastrous. Well, we remember as Christians that we are the stewards of God's whole creation, not the owners. Our lives belong not to ourselves, but to God. Our bodies belong not to ourselves, but to God. Our wealth, all our possessions are not ours to use as we like, but belong to God. And as a matter of fact, our entire planet belongs to God. And all of these things, our lives, our possessions, and even the earth itself, we are to care for properly for God's sake. So when we waste our lives, when we abuse our bodies, when we hoard our wealth, and when we pollute our planet, we are not being faithful stewards for God, with disastrous results. Well, today's gospel speaks about another form that our stewardship takes. As Christians, we are also stewards of the most precious gift of God, the gift of the gospel, the good news of what God has done for us and for all people through his Son, Jesus Christ. The amazing good news, as I shared with our young people this morning, that God, our Heavenly Father, is throwing the biggest party ever, the marriage feast of his Son, and that we're all invited, and it's free. Our Heavenly Father has picked up the tab. He has thrown open the doors of his banquet hall to everyone, everyone who will come, the good, the bad, and the ugly. This is his Son's wedding, and one way or another, that banquet hall is going to be full. God won't settle for anything less. And not only that, but the Father has provided for everyone who comes the appropriate wedding attire. For the ladies, gorgeous evening gowns. For the men, impeccable tuxedos. And that's where you and I come in, as stewards of the gospel. We are the servants whom God sends out to bring people into the feast, to go out into the main streets, to invite everyone to come and join the wedding feast. This reminds me of a story that I read in a book by Dennis Benson called The Ministry of the Child, where he had been invited to be the guest preacher at a church that was in deep conflict, a church that was split apart over various issues so that people weren't even talking to each other. And while he was there during the service, he invited the children to come up for the children's sermon. And since he was preaching on this story of Jesus about the wedding banquet, he sent each of the children out into the congregation with these instructions. He said, "Children, I'd like each of you to go out and find one person out there in the congregation and to bring them up front with you." And the children did that. They went out, each one found a person, brought that person up with them to the front, but they didn't stop there. Each one turned around, went out into the congregation, found another person, brought them back, and then they continued going out and bringing people in until all the pews were empty and everyone was up front, gathered around the altar. This deeply divided congregation had been brought together around the altar, and it was their own children and grandchildren who had done it. Those children knew instinctively what it means to be a steward of the gospel, to invite everyone and not to stop, not to give up until everyone has been brought in. But that's not where the story ends, is it? As Jesus tells the story, once the servants have done their job, once the banquet hall is full, then the Father of the groom, the eternal Most High God, the creator and ruler of the universe, the one who has footed the bill for this shindig, walks in to the applause of everyone in the hall. Well, almost everyone. God looks across this vast hall at the guests dressed in designer gowns and fancy tuxedos that he has graciously provided. And he noticed there's one guy who doesn't fit in. A guy who couldn't be bothered to change his clothes, still wearing the ratty old outfit he had on when somebody told him about a place where he could get free food. His tuxedo, which he never even bothered to try on, lying in a rumpled heap by his chair at the banquet. And while everyone else is standing and cheering the father of the groom, the Almighty King, this guy is sitting there stuffing his face with chicken wings and meatballs. And when the king walks up to him and asks him why he's not wearing his wedding outfit, the guy is so busy stuffing his face that he can't even talk. He doesn't have a word to say. And so, instead of sitting at the wedding banquet with all the other guests, he finds himself on his rear end out in the back alley behind the banquet hall with all the others who refused the Lord's invitation. And so this story of the wedding garment warns us that it's not enough for us as stewards of the gospel to go out and to bring as many people in as we can. Even if we filled all of our pews every Sunday, that would not necessarily mean that we were pleasing God. God also wants us to see to it that each and every person who comes to the wedding banquet receives the proper attire, their own wedding outfit, and wears it. And you can't put on your new outfit until you have taken off the old outfit. And what is that old outfit? Well, Paul tells us in Colossians chapter 3, where he says, get rid of all these things, anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive language from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have stripped off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self. Clothe yourselves, therefore, with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, forgiving one another just as the Lord has forgiven you. And above all, clothe yourselves with love. See, the wedding garment in Jesus' parable is Jesus himself living his life of self-giving love in us and through us by the power of the Holy Spirit that God has given to us as a free gift. And this wedding garment that God has so graciously provided, this new life of loving service to others, is not something that just happens automatically. The new life in Christ is something that we must attend to every day of our life as believers. Day by day, we need to take off the ratty old garments of our old sinful self. And every day we must consciously put on the robe of righteousness, Jesus himself. We must put on Christ and seek to live our lives as those who are clothed in Christ's righteousness. The shining garment of Jesus' compassion, Jesus' kindness, Jesus' meekness and humility, forgiveness and love. So the new life in Christ, this wedding garment that we have received, is an absolutely free gift of God. Jesus paid the price on the cross so that it might be a completely free gift to us. But in order for us to wear that gift and grow into that gift requires great intentionality and focus. Indeed, it takes a lifetime of practice for us to learn how to wear our wedding garment, to learn how to embody the love of Jesus moment by moment in everything we think and say and do. A lifetime of practice to learn how to get ourselves out of the way so that Jesus can shine through us. It takes a lifetime of practice to help our brothers and sisters to do the same. And if you're looking for some good advice on how that can happen in your life, you don't have to look any farther than our second reading for this morning, where Paul in Philippians speaks about how we can grow into our wedding garment, grow into Christ. Rejoice in the Lord always, he says. Do not worry about everything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Let the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, fill your mind and your heart. Focus on that which is good and true and right and noble in life. And Paul says, keep on doing the things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me. Keep on practicing. Keep on practicing as the Holy Spirit reshapes our lives in the likeness of Jesus, the bridegroom. Amen.